When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production. Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 212, which I'm calling, I Thought Quake Was Just a Game. This might be a short episode as my lovely wife and I will be hitting the road at O-Dark 30 on the first leg of our hunt for a new place to live in a new state. First stop, Tennessee. At first we had planned on flying to our destination and just renting a car, but the airports and flights seem to be nothing but chaos these days, as evidenced by news reports and YouTube videos. It'll be around a 12-hour trip and I plan on driving it straight through. I prepared a cooler full of energy drinks of various brands for augmentation. Well, enough about me. What say we get this thing started?
Okay.
Before I get started, I'd like to address the earthquake we had in the northeast of this country on Friday. This was a very unusual occurrence for this area. It struck at about 10:30 while I was sitting atop the porcelain throne in my bathroom, which put me in an awkward and vulnerable position, as you can imagine. Before the shaking started, I heard what I thought was a strong gust of wind. As soon as the shaking started, I knew what it was. It only lasted for about 15 seconds. Supposedly, there were 2 aftershocks later in the day, but no one in my household noticed them. Most people who live around here didn't know what was happening, having never experienced an earthquake before. But thanks to my travel I have undertaken on behalf of the military, this was the 3rd earthquake that I've experienced. My first came while living in upstate New York, circa 1984 or thereabouts. It hit early in the morning while I was still in bed. That one lasted for about a minute, but was more of a rumbling than a quaking. I sort of figured it was an earthquake, and it was confirmed to me by a phone call from a friend who was originally from California. He knew exactly what it was. I, of course, blamed him for bringing the earthquake from his home state with him. The 2nd earthquake I experienced was in the Philippines in 1988. Again, it struck in the early morning while I was still in bed. This particular earthquake was frightening because it lasted a long time and the shaking was moving my entire apartment complex to and fro. I thought the whole structure would collapse at any moment. I don't know if that was due to the strength of the earthquake or the shoddy construction practices of that country at the time. This most recent quake I sat through did shake my house, but not as violently as the one in the Philippines. The only explanation I can think of in regards to the gust of wind I heard before the quake struck Friday is that I live on a tree-lined street and I was actually hearing them moving as the earth buckled. You know what's really frightening about an earthquake? You can't leave during one. You just have to wait it out. Tech news. OpenAI's creepy voice cloning tool, which can replicate anyone's voice within just 15 seconds, is deemed too risky for public use, is the headline from the DailyMail.com. The article goes on to point out how disruptive this technology could be, especially during an election year, but I have news for them. There are many AI companies that offer voice cloning services already, albeit not within 15 seconds. Criminals have already been using this tech with the help grandma's in jail and they need bail money scam. I've talked about this previously, but don't recall the website which provides this service. If I'm recalling correctly, I think that website needed 30 minutes of audio to actually clone a voice. The popular podcast recording and editing software, Descript, can clone one's voice, but also requires you to train it. Eventually, the technology will catch up to the claimed 15 seconds of OpenAI's technology, so I recommend people have a code word to use in order to verify the identity of who they're talking to on the phone, especially if they're unsure. Well, strange times we're living in. Continuing with AI, ZDNet.com is reporting that Yahoo has purchased the underlying technology of the now-shuttered Artifact News. Artifact was started by Instagram co-founders Mike Krager and Kevin Systrom back in 2023 and used AI to deliver curated news content and categories based on the individual's news reading habits. What could go wrong?
I don't know.
It never reached the use scale that the co-founders envisioned. You can read that as being profitability. And they closed the business effective January 2024. Yahoo will integrate Artifact's technology into the company's news website, but there will not be any standalone app. I guess Artifact's technology would just become part of Yahoo's news algorithm that they already have. Being the resident skeptic here, imagine a garbage-shoveling algorithm a social media app uses, but on steroids. Also imagine an agenda-focused organization that will push you towards the latest government-sanctioned stories. It won't be the news you want to read, it will be the news that they want you to read. No thanks, I'll continue to use the old fart method. I'll just keep searching out sources and articles I want to read, not let some AI-powered algorithm controlled by who knows who or what do that for me. This next story is for Linux users. PCMag.com has an article about a Microsoft software engineer from Germany who has stopped what could have been a major security disaster for the operating system and the internet as a whole. Many sites and YouTube channels have also picked this story up lately. The software engineer, Andres Frund, just happened to be benchmarking the latest release of Linux Debian installations. Mr. Frund noticed that xzutils, which is an open-source set of data compression tools widely used across Linux and Unix types of operating systems, was using the CPU at a high rate of consumption. He discovered a backdoor built into xzutils that would inject malicious code that would allow the user to be spied upon and other nefarious things. Thankfully, Mr. Frund's discovery stopped the Linux distribution from gaining wide release. The article didn't cover who injected this malware into xzutils, but other sources since have. As soon as I heard the story, I thought of one possibility. A nation-state that seems to be behind most things like this. Open-source software is done for free, sometimes by a lone developer, and they're responsible for key programs that prop up the whole of the internet. These brave developers are often overwhelmed and pass their responsibilities over to a trusted colleague. This is the case with the XZ developer. He became overwhelmed and passed his responsibilities off to one Jia Tan, which is probably a fictitious name and most likely not a person, but a state-sponsored group. You know which state I think it probably was. A state that wants to rule the world and will bribe, cheat, steal, and threaten people in other states to get its way, at the same time subjugating its own population using hybrid government-private corporations, inspired from a certain National Socialist Workers' Party that was popular in Western Europe from the 1930s until 1945. This entity that I speak of got its early funding from greedy Western transnational corporations who wanted to sell their goods to those subjugated people within that state. Instead of attempting to deter this bad-acting state, Western European and North American states have become envious and are implementing many of the odious practices of this, what would be a pariah state. Gee, did I go off on a tangent there?
Yes.
My apologies. Anyway, I think the solution here would be to actually pay these open-source developers and maintainers of these hypercritical pieces of software that allow the internet to function. I think the ones that need to start paying are those commercial interests that depend on the internet and are the first ones to pressure these open source devs and maintainers to do something when things go wrong.
Yes.
So, a debt of gratitude is owed to Mr. Frund for preventing what could have been a catastrophe. Mark my words, there will be more attempts similar to this one in the future. Well, it's finally happened. FastCompany.com is reporting that the giant fruit company, Apple, is cutting over 600 jobs, making those workers redundant. Learn to code my butt. Apple is the last of the big tech companies to lay off workers. It is assumed that most of these workers were part of Apple's abandoned EV car project, which proved too tough a nut to crack for them. It was all about how to implement a self-driving system. While other big tech companies have been cutting thousands of positions since 2022, Apple has always stated that layoffs are, or I guess were now, a last resort. So, you know, things are really bad in the tech space these days. Besides the cancellation of the Apple car, iPhone, iPad, and Mac sales are all down here and abroad. In the words of former President Bill Clinton, it's the economy, stupid.
Come on, man.
Though Apple hasn't released the numbers, I'm sure the Vision Pro launch didn't go as well as expected either. I think Apple will get its mojo back, as the cool kids like to say, when some of the company's so-called low-end products get released. Products like the regular AirPods with noise cancellation, the 12.9-inch iPad Air, and the rumored newly redesigned iPhone SE, which I think will be the best-selling iPhone ever. The new design is reported to be based on the iPhone 11, but with updated internals like the same chip that powers the current iPhone 15. The SE will have the dreaded notch, but that's an upgrade from the Touch ID of the current SE model. Sure, the camera won't be as good as the non-SE models, but let's be real here. How many people use or need the cameras in their regular and pro models anyway? I know I don't. I'll gladly switch to an SE when the notch is replaced by the dynamic island current iPhones are equipped with. I guess I'll be waiting 4 years or more for that. I use my iPhone for checking email, texting family, and sometimes editing documents. I seldom take a photo, and when I do, it's something in a store or something I want to share with my family. I really don't need all the high-end features of the regular or pro iPhone models, and I expect 90% of iPhone users don't require or use them either. I'd rather put my money into laptops and desktops anyway. Until the economic situation improves, I feel these lower-end products will be the big bad fruit company's bread and butter, along with their still-booming services division. The only other things of note in tech news this week are CNET.com and other websites say that Google's free Gemini chatbot tends to hallucinate and can't be trusted for reliable results. Also, ex-Google employee Linwei Ding was a prolific thief, according to NBCNews.com, and more importantly, federal prosecutors. Mr. Ding joins his fellow countrymen who were recently busted for ripping off battery tech from Tesla and missile tracking technology from Boeing. This all happened in 2024, and the year is still young. Boy, are we seeing a pattern here? Despite all this, these big tech companies are still trying to hire these Chinese nationals and are currently lobbying the government in order to hire more.
What the hell?
And just remember, the current administration abolished the Special Investigative Unit within the FBI, which was dedicated to stopping these thieves.
What am I doing here?
Oh, and Google is also contemplating charging for AI-powered search.
What?
Tech I'm using. As befits an old geek such as myself, communications apps hold an interest for me, especially cross-platform messaging apps. I was an early adopter of WhatsApp, IMO, Telegraph, Signal, and others. The only problem is that people adopt their favorites, so in order to be able to keep in contact with friends, family, and others, it required a phone full of different apps. Well, nowadays, I don't have many people that I keep in contact with. Usually, I communicate with family members. Lucky for me, all my family members are on iPhones, so we use iMessage almost exclusively. Being a former military member, though, I always like to have a backup system in case the primary method of communication goes down or gets disrupted for some reason. I would also like that backup to be secure, and that eliminates all but Signal from the list of apps I've just mentioned. Signal has its problems. Signal requires you to register with a valid phone number, and besides that, Signal has been breached by governments and other nefarious actors. And that's why I'm announcing here today that my family's backup communications app will be Threema. I've talked about Threema in the past and the app's robust security. It has all the basic functions of those other apps, but skips their frivolous features like emojis and stickers. Threema costs $4, and I'll gladly pay for my family members to join me on the platform. I'll let you know if I'm successful in getting them all aboard with me on Threema. The new sports app from Apple works well, but for it to function, you need to have the Apple TV Plus app open on your phone. not just open, but following the particular game you want updates from. In my opinion, that's not intuitive, and it's really unnecessary. If Apple doesn't fix this, I can't see many people adopting it. My lovely wife has already given up on the Apple Sports app, and I can't blame her. When you can get the app to work, it works good. It updates instantly, better than other apps of this type I've used over the years. I find that the app sometimes becomes confused and doesn't update or even work. A phone restart is required for it to function again. Well, at least in my case. Apple needs to do better.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app.
Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Entertainment news. With my intention of relocating, I've been taking another look at my television streaming situation. Currently, I'm using DirecTV Stream for my cable TV replacement. It's more expensive than all the other services like YouTube TV and Hulu TV, but neither of those carry the YES Sports Network, the network that televises the majority of the New York Yankees game. Fubo also carries YES Network and are much cheaper, but why change now if I'm intending to move soon? The only other things I watch on DirecTV is news and occasionally the ESPN and Fox Sports networks. And that's only because they broadcast Yankee games sometimes. Amazon's Prime and Apple TV Plus are the other two services that carry some Yankee ball games. I figure when we relocate, I can ditch DirecTV and watch the Yankees on the MLB app, which, thanks to my cellular service provider, I get free of charge. We'll be out of the market area, so that's what makes this possible. I subscribe to both Prime Video and Apple TV Plus already, and the Fox broadcast would be picked up by the MLB app, which leaves the games broadcast on ESPN as the only ones we'd miss. During the playoffs, I guess we could catch the games on either Peacock or Paramount Plus. We'd figure something out. We watch all of our broadcast television by using the standalone Hulu app, a day later but commercial-free. I've also been looking at those free ad-supported apps and find that Pluto TV is the best, followed by Tubi, with Amazon's Freevee coming in third because of the service's menu, which makes it hard to find what you want to watch. Unlike Pluto TV and Tubi, categories like sports, movies, etc. aren't grouped together. Stir TV used to be one of my favorites, but it seems they've ditched most of the categories they used to carry, down to but just a few channels. You know, cord cutting used to be great, but has evolved into quite the mess in my opinion. Navigating this mess has become a source of frustration. What do you think about the current state of streaming? Because I'll be traveling most of next week, my lovely wife and I will miss some New York Yankee baseball games.
Wrong.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Yeah, what was I thinking? We can't have that now, can we?
No.
No.
While in our hotel room, we can watch the games via the MLB app. What about those early games that will take place while we're driving? Well, to compensate for this, I've dusted off an old app that I haven't used in years, and that would be the TuneIn Radio app. While I was gainfully employed, I used TuneIn not only to listen to sporting events, but also listen to podcasts and sampled some of the internet radio stations they carried. Art Bell, may he rest in peace, used to have a show called Midnight in the Desert that I enjoyed, but my favorite internet radio station was Soma FM Underground's 80s. That's just one of the many stations within the Soma Internet Radio Network. Besides internet radio stations and podcasts, TuneIn carries broadcast radio stations from around the country. 660 WFAN have the contract for the Yankee games, and the TuneIn app has that station. So as long as I have a strong enough signal on my cell phone, we'll be able to listen to those games. This has made my wife very happy, and as you know, if she's happy, well, I'm happy too.
Yes.
Another advantage of using the TuneIn app is that I won't have to be fiddling with my phone or car radio while driving. I'll just set it to WFAN and listen to the station uninterrupted. I had forgotten about TuneIn, but luckily hadn't deleted it from my phone, and I'm glad I didn't. Like Spotify, you have one place to listen to all your favorite podcasts along with other media. Though Spotify has music, the service doesn't carry radio stations. And of course, TuneIn doesn't carry music. Maybe one day someone will come up with a super app that does it all. Imagine being able to listen to your favorite podcast, music, and radio stations all in one app, no matter where you are.
Wow.
Well, if it already hasn't happened, I'm sure it will happen one of these days. Podcast news. Google's podcast app has ceased operating as of last Tuesday in favor of YouTube Music. I'd advise using YouTube Music because many podcasts, including this one, are not available on that platform. YouTube Music has its own overly complex way of adding shows to it, requiring you to upload a video file that they will convert into an RSS feed or something. We'll see how long it takes the big G to tire of this method and perhaps the whole app itself. If you are in the Apple ecosystem, I'd recommend using their own podcast app. But if you want the advantages of the podcasting 2.0 standard, I recommend one called Podcast App. Yeah, that's what it's called, Podcast App. It's totally free with no ads. For the full slate of podcasting 2.0 features, there's Fountain and Podcast Guru. For Android, Podcast Addict gets rated as the top app on most websites. Podcast Addict is also podcasting 2.0 compliant. Of course, there's Spotify for both iOS and Android. This is the best choice for those who like having their music and podcast all in one place. Now, Spotify's UI and feature set isn't as good as it could be, but there's something to say about its convenience. I've got bad news. No Adobe Podcast Studio for me. I failed to read the darn fine print regarding the eligibility requirements in order to participate in the beta testing. It seems you have to subscribe to Adobe Express Premium to qualify. That would have set me back $10 per month or $100 per year. I have enough subscriptions and I'll be darned if I enroll in yet another one. I've since watched some reviews on Adobe's podcast studio on YouTube, and judging from what I saw, I wouldn't be using it that often, if at all. By signing up for an Adobe account, I do have limited access to the enhanced speech and mic check features that are within the podcast studio suite, but I can already replicate those things using my current podcast setup. Well. Major League Baseball season is in full swing now, and team-based podcasts are enjoying their annual boom in listening. I used to listen to a podcast called Yankee Universe, which was forced to retitle to Yankee Pinstripes, and then finally the BP podcast. I enjoyed listening to that podcast because it was just a couple of hardcore Yankee fans giving their opinions about the goings-on concerning the team. Since then, the BP podcast was picked up by Blue Wire Sports Network, and the character of the show has changed. While better sounding and more professional than it was, it has become boring to me. It's become more like the high-production Podcasting Incorporated shows, which are a dime a dozen out there. Last week, I stumbled upon a podcast dedicated to the Yankees' crosstown rivals, the Mets. And though I'm not a Mets fan, I found myself enjoying the show. It's called Mets, and has four hardcore fans complaining and ranting about their favorite baseball team. Like Yankee Pinstripes, well, now BP once was, the hosts of Mets are passionate and entertaining. Now, the show's audio is nowhere near the level of the BP podcast, but the content is less boring. I guess this is an example of what Podcasting Incorporated does to independent podcasts once they buy them. That's because they bring in sponsors that use compatibility checkers to ensure the shows they sponsor don't say anything that may tarnish their reputations. The Mets podcast does have a sponsorship from Coors Light Beer, which is a pretty big one, but Coors smartly doesn't appear to use a compatibility service. This podcast, the OFNT podcast, does have ads, but the revenue they bring in barely can cover the price of an item on sale at the Dollar Tree. So if they did withdraw from my show, I just wouldn't care. Also remember, if my voice isn't reading the ad, I don't endorse the product or whatever else is being hawked. The music is playing and I'm getting ready for my road trip tomorrow morning. Well, weather permitting. I'll be bringing along my Zoom handy recorder, so expect some content from our trip coming up. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can always make it a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's only if you're inclined to do so. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Well, I still got some preparations to do for my trip, so I'd appreciate you getting off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app.
Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.